champ. I'm looking for the people's champ.
I know it's been a while, but I'm back with the People's Champ podcast. This is Josh Elbaum, and I'm happy to announce today's guest is Clancy Rhodes.
What's good, Josh? I'm happy to be here, man. Happy to be here.
Wow. The pleasure is all mine, Clancy, let me tell you. So for those people who haven't heard from you in a while, let the world know what you've been up to. Let's say since graduating UVM.
Since graduating UVM, well, this is my fifth year. I've been in Luxembourg all 5 years playing. For my first 3 years, I was playing in the eastern part. It's a pretty small country. It's only a 10-team league, so it's not as big as, I don't know, maybe a Germany or a French league. But yeah, for my first 3 years, I was playing in the eastern side of the country, and now for my last 2 years I switched to a different team. So yeah, five years in Luxembourg. So
nice. For those who don't know where Luxembourg is, give us a location and maybe a brief description of what the country's like.
Luxembourg is super small. It's a little country that's kind of like sandwiched between Germany, France, and Holland. The population is really small too. I think Vermont actually has a bigger population than Luxembourg.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but it's a pretty rich country. Like there's a lot of banking here and a lot of like investment banks and finance companies. And it's a great place to be. And yeah, 5 years later, I'm still here. So yeah.
The Cayman Islands of Europe, where people stash their money.
Straight offshore banking in Luxembourg.
All right, now good to know. If I ever make it, I got the plug over.
Perfect,
there.
You got connections. I got you.
All right, nice. All right, so let's talk about how you ended up over there. So, like, when you graduated, how did you go about finding an agent and once you got over there, like, talk to me about your adjustment coming from good old Burlington, Vermont.
Well, for the first part of the question, I get how I got over here. Towards the end of my senior year in that summer, a bunch of agents actually contacted me. And and each agent has, you know, their specialty where they have their connections. So some will be in Europe, some will be in Asia, a lot of places, you know, South America even. So the agent that I ended up going with, I think, was based out of Boston. And his specialty was Western Europe. So he was always placing guys in French leagues, Luxembourg, Holland, Germany. So I ended up signing with him. And I was actually super nervous because I didn't have a job when the preseason started in August. And then I actually got lucky to find a place because the team that I signed with fired their American like 3 weeks into the preseason. So they were looking for another American. Wow. Yeah, they were looking for another American and signed me. So I was pretty lucky to even have a job in the first place.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. What I know you've switched agents. I know it's not uncommon. I mean, from the guys I've spoken to overseas, it's like, you know, it's not ridiculous for them to switch agents literally every year. So, I mean, talk to me about that process because you stayed in the same country. So I know that must have been difficult, I guess, to switch agents.
Yeah. Well, for me, I guess it was a little bit different because my agency that I signed with coming out of college after like 2 or 3 years just completely stopped writing me back. And from what I understand, they like the whole agency just collapsed and just didn't tell any of their players. So everybody was just kind of scrambling to find a new agent. So, but I still had the connection from that agency in Luxembourg that I knew. And, he moved to a new agency and I just went with him to the next agency. So it was pretty, for me, it was pretty straightforward, but I have heard a lot of like crazy stories about guys signing with agents and then they got to choose another one because they're not happy. And I don't know, but for me, it was pretty easy, I think, compared to a lot of stories you'll hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. That actually sounds like a pretty seamless transition.
Yeah.
So now that you are 5 years in, do a tough one here. What advice would you give your younger self? So before you answer that, I want you to kind of gear this towards possibly, let's say, your high school self, because as you know, I'm coaching, coaching back at NMH. Yeah. And it's always interesting to think, you know, like, all right, what did I wish like they really understood at their age? You know, now that I look back, and I think everyone has a different perspective because, you know, everyone has, you know, different experiences. But I'm curious to know what yours would have been. Like if you could tell gangly, skinny.
Super gangly. Wow. Like unhealthily gangly and skinny. The 17-year-old version of myself.
The 6'8", 130-pound man.
Soaking wet. Yeah, boy. Wow. What would you tell yourself? Jeez. Firstly, let me just say congrats on winning the championship.
Shout out
NMH. Shout out Hogger Nation.
Facts.
And yeah, what would I tell my younger self? I don't know. I guess if anything, just be more hungry and just be more motivated. I mean, I was playing high school basketball in Vermont, which I think everybody knows isn't exactly a hotbed for like high major competition. So I was just, for my 4 years of high school, I was just kind of coasting because, yeah, like you said, I was 6'8". I could move a little bit. I could shoot, you know, I could do a couple things and it was good enough for Vermont high school basketball. But yeah, like you said, when I came to NMH, I was just completely not ready physically and mentally. So I guess if anything, just the mental toughness aspect is a huge part of prep school and college basketball. Like if you're not mentally ready to go to a D1 program, you're just going to get absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And my 1 year at prep school actually helped me a lot with that. Cause I just completely got my ass kicked. But then it was good because then I was more ready for UVM and I got a lot mentally tougher. So if anything, I would just say, just get hungry and really just try to make yourself as mentally tough as possible going to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good point too. Like I never thought about that because I grew up in, I grew up in Long Island, pretty close to the city. So I never actually thought about that. Like somewhat in a rural sense, like you never really had anyone that would like, you know, could like just destroy, yeah. Like, could destroy you or dunk on you and like embarrass
you
on like a daily basis. So yeah, that can be a culture shock for, you know, leaving that. That's interesting. Yeah. Now let's go. I want to hear your craziest overseas story. Either on the court or off the court. I hope you had enough time. I sent you this question before. I hope you had enough time to come up with something juicy. I know you're a husband and you're a father now.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty low-key lifestyle nowadays.
Yeah, but I hope you have something good for us.
No, nothing like crazy. I mean, I've heard some of your other podcasts where guys are like getting chased out of nightclubs with knives or something and getting like, I don't know, hunted down by like crazy people. But
we've had some good ones.
No, mine, it's just more of a funny one. Like my first 3 years, we were a really good team. We were going to a lot of finals and our fans were just completely ridiculous. We called them the hooligans. They would just show up to every game, just completely out of their minds, drunk and just go wild. And for a couple of the cup final games, like they would have this thing that they always did where if the other team started making a run, then they would just like one guy would just pretend like he tripped and just drop confetti all over the baseline of the floor. And then it was the same guy every time. It was a short guy, but always the most drunk guy there. And then he would turn around and get pissed, like someone pushed him. And then you had to wait. You had to wait like 5 minutes to clean off the floor. And then it actually worked a couple times. We turned games around, but
that's hilarious.
And it was every big game in the cup finals, in the playoffs. There was always confetti on the floor. I don't know how they didn't get banned from all competitions, but I don't know. I guess just the atmosphere of some of the games were just wild, just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty smart, though.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, like, when was it? Jason Kidd was coaching the Bucks, and he purposely spilled his like, Diet Coke on the floor.
Yeah, well, he asked one of his players to hit him on the way by.
Yeah, because he ran out of time.
Yeah, and then he spilled the soda on the floor, and then he like sprinted over to the huddle to start drawing up a play. But
that's classic. Yeah, that's we may have to use that one here at NMH. I can't picture Vermont using that. Like maybe Tom Brennan, one of the Tronos, or Barry Stone.
Like throwing.
Barry and Carol just tripping and throwing confetti to stop a fast break or something.
Well, it's a lot different too, because in Europe the fans are like right on the floor, and these guys were like right on the baseline. You know, there's no like barrier that really separates them from the floor. So you're saying
much less.
So it was pretty easy. Like the guy would just have a pocket full of confetti, and he would just trip over his own feet and just throw confetti all over the. We would just start dying laughing every time he did. I mean, we'd be down like 10, 15 points. We were like, all right, thank God. But yeah, I don't know. That's pretty funny.
Oh,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Now that's a pretty good one. So what advice would you give I know you spoke about how you got overseas, mm-hmm. but like surviving overseas, whether that's with maybe a coach or city or team you don't get along with, or in a country that, you know, you don't speak the language. Like what have you picked up to survive and not be homesick and deal with all those things?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question, actually, because the first year is really hard for a lot of players. And I've talked to a lot of people who have came over here and played, and it's like halfway through their first season, they're like, yeah, I'm going crazy. Like I need to get out of here as soon as possible. Like I can't be here anymore. And, my first year was kind of like that too. I mean, you're just super, you feel like super cut off and just secluded from everybody. And plus there's a time difference too. So you can't even stay on the same schedule. You know, you're not like up to date with any sports, or you can't watch any games or anything like that. So, you know, you have like one or two practices a day, but then the rest of the day, you just have absolutely nothing to do. And it can really make you go crazy. But some advice, what I would give is just find some hobby to do, or find something to do besides playing PlayStation. There's only so much PlayStation you can
Fortnite.
Play. Yeah, we're gonna get to that in a second. But I don't know. I went through a couple phases. Like I started reading books. I was like going on walks. I was like taking the bus to different parts of the country that I'd never been to before. Because mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like you'll wake up and you'll go work out, and then you don't have another practice for like 9 hours, and you don't have any classes. You can't like go hang out with your friends because you're not living in a dorm or anything anymore. So mm-hmm. it can actually be really tough, and you feel really cut off. But I guess just finding something to do with your time so you don't feel like you're just completely going crazy helps.
Yeah. I think exploring the country too is a big one.
Yeah.
Especially, well, you know, you've been lucky to stay in the same country for 5 years, but a lot of guys, you know, they get bounced and kicked and jump around teams. So like really exploring the city while you have the time to be there, because you know, you never know how long you're going to be there for.
Yeah.
Or if you'll ever be there again. So I think that's a big one.
Another guy I was talking to.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean,
yeah. Another guy I was talking to started taking classes online, and he got his master's mm-hmm. just because you have so much time. And I mean, as a basketball player, you're used to two workouts a day, but then you usually have classes and you're doing something. But here you just come back and you just have nothing to do. So in that sense, it's like it can drive you crazy.
Yeah, there's only so much Netflix you can watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're hitting the hard question.
All right. Here we go.
I've had many teammates reach out to
many?
Me. Many. Wow. Many.
Many.
I don't want to put anyone specifically on blast, but there's a lot.
All good.
About not sharing or keeping us up to date that you are married with a kid who, by the way, I saw a recent picture, is so big.
This guy's a beast. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So give us the rundown.
Yeah. So his name is James. He's a year and almost 5 months. He'll be a year and 5 months tomorrow. Nice. Yeah, like you said, he's an absolute beast. Like for his size, he just towers over everybody. yeah, and I mean, why I didn't keep anybody up to date? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you want me? That's kind of a hard question to answer.
Just making sure you didn't forget about it.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, I put a couple things on Instagram. I put one actually recently on Instagram, like a couple days ago. I posted one. A picture of me and my son like a year ago. I don't know. I figured everybody would have seen that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, everybody who I'm in touch with, you know, on a consistent basis knows, but, yeah, I guess I could have done a little bit more. So,
yeah, I mean, no, it's all right. Yeah. You're in Luxembourg. You forgot about it.
Dang, that's right. Crazy. Come on, bro. Don't put me on blast like that. Hey, man, I'm busy. I'm busy nowadays. I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I know. The dad life. How many?
Dad life, man.
How those diapers coming along? I couldn't even imagine.
They started off really rough. Wow. The first couple diapers are like life changers. It's like, no, seriously. One day you never. Can we swear on this podcast? Is this kid friendly or what's the rating?
Yeah, you can swear. You can swear.
Do you? One day you've never touched shit in your life, and then the next day you're a father and you're changing diapers and you're just up to your elbows, and you have no idea what's going on.
It becomes the norm. You're just like, I just always have throw up or shit on me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a transition phase. I mean, I love it now. I absolutely love being a dad now. But for the first like couple weeks, it's super overwhelming. But yeah, now I'm in my groove now, and I'm loving it. Plus, my wife is awesome too. She's a great mom, and we really love it. It's awesome.
Nice. Oh yeah. So how did you meet her? Is she from Luxembourg as well?
No, she's from Belarus, Eastern European. But she was playing in Luxembourg at the same time that I was. So we had mutual friends and we met out somewhere, and then yeah, the rest is history.
Oh, so you're trying to have an NBA baby. Okay.
Yeah. 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 No, I can never beat her at shooting contests either. Like in horse, I don't know. My winning percentage isn't very good. She's just a cold blooded shooter. Yeah. And she's pretty tall too. She's like 6 feet, 6'1". So
this baby's gonna be
he's gonna be 6'11" with a ratchet. We always say poor Zingas. He's gonna be the next poor Zingas. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. All right, that's awesome. Yeah. No, well, congratulations on that. Honestly, all jokes aside, we are very happy for you, and we hope your kid grows to be 7 foot. Okay, I think we're up to Twitter and Facebook questions.
All right.
Starting off, we have Ben Kranka and Brennan Bald, both basically.
I knew this question was coming. Question.
Has his world travels brought him to the lawless city of Tortuga?
First of all, shout out Ben, shout out Brendan, my boys. And secondly, yes, Tortuga has been discovered and very well explored since my leaving of UVM. And they'll know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. What a crew.
Oh, jeez. By the way, I was just listening to Brendan's podcast, and that was absolutely hilarious.
Oh yeah. Did that one a while back.
Yeah. No, it was your last one, but I was listening to that a little bit. I was just dying laughing.
I gotta stay on top of this. I've been slacking.
I forgot about so many things, like when you told the story about when Angstet was missing the 22s.
Oh yes, that's a hilarious moment. Dog. Yeah, like
I completely Brendan was about that. That's so funny though.
It was the only thing he said as our captain. Yeah. It was absolutely hilarious.
That's funny.
Jeez. That's some good moments. Yeah. We have a Twitter question from James Williams. Thank you, James, for the question. He goes, has Clancy gone to an NBA tryout camp? As I know, his stats are very impressive in Europe. So let's elaborate that. Let me feel free to read the stat line. Like, you know, gas yourself up.
Sell myself? No, I haven't. Damn. I haven't gone to any NBA tryout camps. I don't really have any aspirations to either. I think I would just get ran off the floor in 2 seconds and then end up embarrassing myself. But in Luxembourg, what are my stats? I think this year it's like 24, 25, and 12, and a couple, two or three assists.
That's a solid stat line.
Yeah, it's like two K numbers. No, in Luxembourg, there's only two Americans per team. So, I mean, we're getting a lot of shots, and we play 40 minutes. So we end up getting our shots and our stats. So
I saw a highlight video once, and I was pretty impressed. I was like, it looked like you've gotten much better, like handling the ball, like, you got a rebound and like you just brought it all the way down the court and like made like a couple moves and then just dunked it. And I was like, you know, like freshman year Clancy was not doing that. It's a compliment. Like I could instantly see like, you know, your handle and stuff is definitely improved.
Yeah. I mean, that also kind of speaks to how you have to change your game when you're a professional. I mean, your whole career is basically on your stats and like, you know, how well you play, like what kind of highlight video you can make or what kind of game video you can send. So you kind of have to like start being super aggressive and just like just going all out to try to get yours, which sounds kind of selfish, but that's professional basketball and that's how you get paid. So it is what it is.
Yeah. No, I think and some people forget that, like, you know, their first year, they're like, oh, I'm just going to be a team guy. I'm going to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, yeah. Your first 2 years overseas, like you're basically just like, you got to put up numbers. So, you know, people don't want to be like, oh, he had a really good year. Like if you're in a lower league, like you have to score 20. You have, you know,
yeah,
you
exactly. Have
to, otherwise you won't ever get that next contract or the following year.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll be sent home.
Yeah. That's happened to so many people that I know. And actually at the end of my first year there, it was our last game of the season and we were kind of middle of the pack. And it was right before the last game and the president of the club came up to me and he was like, yeah, we don't know if we want to take you back. So we're just going to completely make our decision on how you play this game. I swear to God, he took me and the other professional like into the side locker room. I don't know, 10 minutes before warmups. And he just said that to us. I mean, we ended up playing really good. We both had a really good game and we came back and he's had a great career. And yeah, I mean, I've been here for 5 years now, but it's just crazy. It's like coming from college where the team comes first to the next year where you can just get fired. You know, if you have like three or four bad games in a row, then you just don't have a job anymore.
Yeah. They just send you home.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. You know, I don't care if we win. I just need you to score 30 points.
And it happens.
Or you're going home.
It happens all the time. And it's wild.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
Yeah. It's cutthroat.
Yeah.
All right. So we have two questions from Curtis Colby. Thank you, Curtis Colby. It's a great game against Duke. I want to reiterate for people who don't know, Vermont, we at Vermont almost beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And it was a questionable call,
to say the least.
So that's what he wants to know. Did you get all ball on your final block? How would you compare playing in Cameron to playing in the championship game at Stony Brook?
By my memory, I remember it being all ball. And I remember watching the replay too, and that's kind of what I thought. But any kind of 50-50 call like that at Duke at the end of the game with the score, I think we were...
Was it tied or what were
we? I think we were tied.
Yeah.
But any kind of 50-50 call at the end of the game like that at Duke, there's no chance that you're going to... that they wouldn't have called a foul, you know? So he exactly. ended up making a free throw, and then I don't think we even got a shot off at the end, did we?
No, Camden took a dribble and made a layup.
Yeah, right, like a half second too late or something.
Like, yeah, like if he didn't take the dribble, he may have made it, but it was like, you know, it was a very tough
ball. Yeah.
And he – oh, yeah, and so how would you compare playing in Cameron to the old Stony Brook championship game?
I don't know. I mean, a couple games really stand out to me as being like the loudest environments that I've ever played in. I mean, Stony Brook, that championship game, I think that had to be the loudest game I've ever played in. That was just completely wild.
I would completely agree. Yeah. Like, I literally thought the place was about to collapse.
It was
like the vibrations were crazy.
It was insane. We couldn't even like talk to each other on the floor. We had no idea what Becker was saying from the bench.
Like, it was nuts. Yeah. Like, the acoustics in there were something had to be off. Like, it made no sense.
Plus, they had a huge student section, and they were all just jumping and just going completely wild. And it felt like the whole building was shaking. I don't know. I would say that it was even louder than Cameron, just because of the fact it was a championship game. And I think we surprised everybody at Cameron. Like, all the fans, they didn't really wake up until the second half, you know? Like, we stayed close with them.
They were quiet for a while.
Yeah, we stayed close. And then all the fans were just kind of waiting for Duke to run away with the game, but it just kept staying close. And they didn't realize until, like, I don't know, halfway through the second half or something that there was a real upset chance. And then they started really cheering. But the
you could really hear, like, when the buzzer went off, like, no one cheered. Like, you could hear the entire arena, like, it was like a sigh of relief. You're like, oh, like you could tell. It was like, wow, like that. They got pretty lucky there.
Yeah.
Like that was nuts. And Cameron's actually a lot smaller. People forget, like, dude, Duke Stewart Stadium is like does not hold that many people.
I have no idea, but it's kind of it does feel really small because the stands really go more up and not really out than a normal stadium. Plus, the next, like, the balconies go right on top of the floor, and those go straight up, too. So yeah. it's not a really big space, but it's, like, people are really packed in there.
It's crowded. Yeah. It's like it feels like people are on top.
Really.
Yeah.
But
no, it's nuts.
Yeah. I guess to answer the question, I think the Stony Brook game would definitely have to stand out as the loudest game.
Yeah. Curtis Colby has another question. And this may also be kind of maybe advice to your younger self as well. Because I know specialization now is like happening at much younger age for kids with sports. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like our dads always, I used to play every season.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, and then now it's like guys are just like, no, I'm playing basketball. That's it. So he wants to know, did you play other sports growing up? If so, how did that affect your pursuit of playing basketball in college?
I don't think it really affected it that much. I mean, when I was young, I always thought that I was a better baseball player than anything else. Like, I completely had my heart set on being a baseball player. And then, I was 13, 14, 15 years old, and I went from like 5'10" to 6'7". So, I mean, that kind of made my decision for me. And then by the time I was a senior in high school, I mean, I was still playing baseball and basketball. But by that time, it wasn't even close. I mean, I knew that I wanted to go to college to play basketball, and that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Side note, I don't think you know this yet, but I'm coaching. I'm the assistant JV baseball coach here.
Yeah, he told me about that.
Oh yeah, it's been interesting. It's been interesting, and that leads us into our next question from Facebook, from Steve Anderson.
Steve, little horsey.
Steve also went to NMH with us.
Yes, my boy.
And played baseball. Played baseball at Georgetown. Huge home run slugger.
Yes. He hit bomb and pack bombs. That's what he always would say.
Yep. Exactly. He wants to know, how has my shuffle dunk at NMH influenced his professional career and personal life?
Oh my God. That was a career defining moment when I saw the shuffle dunk on the highlight tape. And just strongest one hand dunks I've ever seen, with getting like 1 centimeter over the rim. with having no extra space to spare, he would just dunk it hard.
Steve was 6'5". What was he? 240?
He was a beast. I got it.
Yeah, 240. And for some reason, when he played basketball, he would have to like gallop and shuffle like sideways before he could dunk it, and then he would just muscle it in.
Yeah.
It was one of the most interesting things to watch.
Hilarious. To see a man of to see a man of that size. Well, he was trying to get his feet right, but it was from like outside the 3-point line into the key, just taking these like super choppy little steps. It just looked hilarious. That video is still on YouTube, man. Is it not?
I think
so. We can send the listeners over there so they can go see that.
Oh man. For sure, have to
hilarious.
Next question is from Ben Kovac. I assume you know him, or is he a Luxembourg guy?
He's my teammate here at Esch.
Oh, okay, nice. He wants to know what your favorite Luxembourgish sentence is.
Oh my gosh,
is that proper English? Luxembourgish?
Yeah, Luxembourgish. Completely crazy language, by the way. It's just like total gibberish. Like if you would hear it, it's just completely like incomprehensible. But my favorite sentence, I don't know. I guess it would have to be "Deng mom klaut am Aldi," which means your mom steals from the grocery store.
What?
No, it's. I don't know. It's kind of like a funny thing to say because Aldi is the cheap grocery store here, so it's a funny diss that people say to each other. If their mom steals from Aldi, then I don't know. It's just a your mom joke, but it's kind of funny.
It's just like a cultural,
just a stupid little thing. Yeah. But anytime you say that here, then people just burst out laughing.
Nice. Like how much Luxembourgish do you like understand or speak at this point?
Well, I'm taking classes actually at the moment, because because when I'm trying to get my nationality right now, and to get that I need to pass a test, and it's like 50% speaking and 50% listening, so you have to speak a little bit of the language. I'm taking courses right now, and I speak enough to get by, but anytime that someone's talking full speed, there's no chance. It's completely ridiculous. Ridiculous language.
Yeah.
Everybody says it's a combination of French and German, just kind of like a mishmash. But if you speak French and you speak German, then you still have no idea what a Luxembourgish person is saying. It's just a completely made up language. But, wow.
Well, good luck with that.
I need it.
Next question is from Luke Esch. Is he one of your teammates as well?
No, that's my boy from over here, though. That's my guy.
Oh, is he? Okay, yeah. So I figured. Yeah. He wants to know how many wins you got on Fortnite.
Way less than he does. this guy's like a professional Fortnite player. He's a beast. And he'll just talk shit the whole time and just, I don't know, get like 10 kills and win the game. But I don't know. I'm not playing too much PlayStation. So whenever I play, I just go and just try to hide the whole time. And I don't know. I won like one game ever, I think. So I don't know.
You're too busy changing diapers to be on the sticks.
My PlayStation time has went considerably down over the last year and a half. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I remember when I think it was here at NMH where we used to play FIFA with invisible walls.
Always with invisible walls.
That was great. And that was like, even though it was 2009, 2010, I'm pretty sure it was like FIFA 04 we were using.
Some completely outdated version. Yeah.
Yeah, like with invisible. So those games were
crazy. You didn't even have to be good. You could just smash the shoot button and it would go over the goal, but bounce right back to you. Just shoot again.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Huh? What, so before we finish up, let's go through and, let's talk, favorite NMH memories and, or memorable moments, and same with Vermont. What comes to mind when, like, you reminisce on your NMH days?
Good
stuff.
Good stuff? Yeah, besides the...
Not the bad stuff.
I don't know. We would always have our little routine after every last class. We'd go and play ping pong for, like, an hour before we had to go rest for... Before we had to go rest for practice. That's like always one of the little, one of the little like routines that I think about. We spent a lot of time in, how was it called? The student center there.
Blake. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were always in there playing ping pong tournaments and eating.
That was, we were actually crazy competitive. We played doubles. Was it me, you, Tommy Carpenter,
and Evan Cummins. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Those were like the most competitive doubles games. It was ridiculous. Just like, it was like me, 6'3", and then like you three who were like 6'9", like playing this like small.
Yeah. Plus Tommy and Evan were both like 6'4" and 6'9" too. So I think everybody who was watching were like, wow, what are these four huge idiots doing? Like running around yelling around a ping pong table every day.
Just talking so much smack.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good memory.
Yeah. Those are good times. Yeah. Oh man. But I'm trying to think. For me at Vermont, like looking back, like that, I really miss the house. Like it sounds weird. Like obviously, like the basketball, like the championships. But I feel like it all like came back to the house. Like how we used to have people over. Like it was just embodied, like UVM basketball culture. And like I love how the guys still have 28. Like I think that's like
Yeah, that was awesome.
Super important.
That's like one of my biggest regrets is I wish I was more involved in the house. But
activities.
Yeah. But anyways. Yeah, the house is awesome. I mean, winning a championship was at our sophomore year, right? I was with Maddie when he was a senior. Yeah, that was crazy. Like we were talking about that game at Stony Brook. That was just wild to win in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
I guess just being part of the team, like that was so awesome. Those 4 years were just amazing. We won a lot of games. We lost some tough games, but looking back, just being part of the team is awesome.
Yeah, the more I talk to guys too in the basketball world, like makes me like really understand like how lucky we were to be a part of. Like the NMHs in Vermont, like lots of these guys don't get along with their coaches.
Yeah.
They're not friends with their teammates still. Like they're kind of like do their own thing. Like they don't keep in touch. It's like so weird to me how they're like I think we almost took it for granted. Like how close we all were. Like that's not the norm for most teams.
Yeah, for sure. And especially, I mean, you can even relate that to professional basketball. It's such a business, you know, you don't really have any friends until, I mean, you've been here for a couple of years and you get settled down, but I mean, you could be here one day and like 2 weeks later, you could be gone again. You know, we just, like you said, we just got really lucky with where we were at NMH and what a group at Vermont too. Wow.
I think our years there were some pretty legendary human beings.
And what a mix of guys at the house, too. It was me and you, Camden, B, and Heck. Wow, that's just a big-time crew right there. I don't know what else you can say about
that. Yeah, a miracle that the house wasn't burnt down. But
We made it through.
We did make it
did through. Did not get our security deposit back, but.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, that was bad. Have you been back?
Because I've been in the house like recently, and like, dude, they're like they keep it clean. Like you wouldn't even recognize.
I wouldn't even know where to go if the house is clean. Like you said, I wouldn't even recognize the place if it was clean. We'd just go in the kitchen, and I'd be like, "All right, I got to get out of here. I'm going home. I'm driving home for a home cooked meal."
we had remember when we had so many fruit flies like in our kitchen that like it spread throughout the house, and we for some reason it was like the same weekend we had like Tom Brennan and Barry Sutton, like a bunch of people over for a barbecue. And then I think it was Jeff Shulman who came over. And he brought his son, and his son was just like, "Why are there bugs all over the walls?"
I remember,
shut the fuck up, like shut up, like all right, pipe down, kid.
There was also a turtle that was in there for a while.
When Brian decided because he had an extra turtle or what do you call it, like turtle case or
like a cage kind of
aquarium, yeah. He's like, "Oh, we have to get a turtle." Like that did not go well.
Just ridiculous in general.
Yeah. Good times, though.
Great times.
I almost forgot. Wow. You almost got lucky. We forgot to discuss the rap music.
Oh, my God.
At Northfield
Mountain. Oh, boy. I was hoping you forgot.
So. Oh man, let me pull up my iTunes real quick.
Let's you gotta go. Do it, huh?
We got Clancy Rugg. We got 100 bars. You know what? I will say the Crosley Girls song is actually fire.
The which one?
Ain't nothing like a Crosley Girl.
Oh, the one you made with my Jeremy Cooney. Yeah, that was good.
So anything you want to say about these songs? Because I'm going to put them in the outro so people can give them a listen.
Don't judge me. This was a long time. This was a long time ago. Me and Josh, speaking of being bored, I was talking about how I was bored over here playing professional basketball. But wow, were we bored at NMH. We had to find some stuff to do. We became rappers for a couple months.
Post-grad life. Yeah, post-grad life.
We put together an LP.
Oh man! So I'm gonna see what I can dig up, but I have.
Oh my gosh!
I also have. I have a track here called 100 Bars. So we'll see. This should be.
You gotta play this after the C2 remix.
Nah, see. This is why it's my podcast. I get to decide.
Oh my gosh!
I get to decide. I don't want to play my bad music. I
actually think I remember one time when you went into my iTunes and intentionally deleted the C2 remix out of my iTunes. If my memory serves me correctly, that's the reason I don't still have it, or else I would definitely post it on here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I purposely did, because I know people were sharing, everyone was sharing music back then, too. I was like, oh, man, I can't let this get out.
Oh, my gosh. I remember I was talking about, like, shooting guns and selling dope. The 18-year-old version of my, like I said, people, don't judge me. Please don't judge me.
This is also when, let me set the, you know, you were 6'8", 6'9", really skinny, coming from Vermont, and you used to wear, like, those Champs extra tall tees.
I'm a product of my environment, Josh. What do you want me to say?
Like, I don't even know if kids knew those were a thing now. Like the extra, the super tall tees,
like 2XL tall tees
down to your knees. Yeah, it's just like swagging.
Yeah, the tall tees have been out of fashion for a while, but I still have some old pictures on there that no one will ever see for sure.
Yeah. Oh man, that's.
I was hoping my rap career got buried in the past also, but my past is always just coming back to get me.
Oh well, all right. Well, for all the listeners, thank you for surviving that. Now we'll finish with the good stuff. Here's some music by Clancy Rugg, aka C Thug, to sign us off. Thanks again, Clancy.
Oh my gosh, enjoy everybody.
walking around the campus of NMH with a brand new girl like every single day. Walk by McKinnon and walk by Shea, just looking for a Crosley girl to lay. North or South, babe, I really don't care. We could do it anywhere, the elevator, the stairs. Saying I like something about the clothes you wear, but I like you much better in that underwear. I rep Crosley, baby, that's 431. Rug and Cooney on lock like the safety on a gun. We get our pick of whatever we want during those icy cold winter months. I ain't gotta go far to find a finest on campus. Calling girls, baby, like I got them in Pampers. We all know who gon' be cruising later, just down to find out who I'm gon' be choosing late. I ain't got no problems with girls out in Wallace, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Used to have a dope fling with a girl in McKinnon, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Right gets live, no lie to girls is wild, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl.
Come on, girl, you know I'm reppin' UNC, so don't act like you can't imagine you and me. You say you got a man, but I'm asking who is he? My Mac game is stupid, girl, no one good as me. I gotta reppin' NMH, how you gonna knock me? Other men are lame, all they wanna do is copy. Some dorms are nice for lesser guys, but not me. You see the finest dimes walking straight up out of Crosley. If you're 16, we can make it happen. Swiss me, girl, and your man could get it cracking. I ain't at a show, but you know she get it clapping. Call me the captain, cause he's sick with rapping. I'm not macking, I'm just saying I'm a fun guy. Fitted cap on my white tee, I'm dumb fly. I party all night from sundown to sunrise. Get the whole South to come round for one guy.
Got no problem with girls out in Wallace, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Used to have a dope fling with a girl in McKinnon, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Right gets live, no lie to girls is wild, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. See, I keep my game smooth like Vidal Sassoon. Have Crosley girls like a movie, they be coming soon. Just wishing me and her could somehow get a room, so she could strip me down to my Fruit of the Looms. Crosley's hotter than the Playboy Grotto. Take your pick, like a scratch off Lotto. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Prettier than a picture, call it a Crosley mural. Now this doesn't mean that Wallace doesn't have his dime pieces, all that Reichert and McKinnon don't keep the dudes on leashes. But Crosley girls epileptic, they giving me seizures. Why you think our dorm doesn't have a heater? We the best, like Crosley got that DJ Khaled swag. Crosley bunnies like they should be in a Playboy mag. Girls are hotter than sex in the back room, or should I say in the downstairs bathroom. Hit up USC, I ain't talking about Southern Cal. Southern boy looking for that Southern gal. And don't get me started on Loso Crow. Well, all I hear is Jeremy, don't stop, no. Visiting hours, just wishing I could keep my door closed. That's why when I cruise, I try to end up in less clothes. Then I arrived at that Crosley girl's room, man, and she gon' be in that birthday suit. And got no problem with girls out in Wallace, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Used to have a dope fling with a girl in McKinnon, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Right gets live, no lie to girls is wild, but ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl. Damn sure ain't nothing like a Crosley girl.